So the first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 to 27. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you've profaned among the nations where you've gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And the second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, or 3 to 6. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we smell, we are the smell of death, to the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Good morning, everybody. It'd be great if you had the service sheet to look at the reading. I look forward to us getting back to Bibles, so we've got a whole Bible in our hands, but you may have brought a Bible. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let me pray. Father, we know that you work by your Spirit through your word, and we pray now that we'd be attentive to your word. Please help me to teach it faithfully and clearly, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to work in us to respond rightly. Thank you that that is the great promise of the new covenant. The Spirit will take the things of the Lord Jesus and apply them to our hearts and minds, our very being. So please help us as a result of this sermon to love Jesus more, to rejoice in him, to serve him more effectively and faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is an outline. I want to ask the question, what does true, authentic gospel ministry look like? It's been a theme already in the first two sermons of this series in 2 Corinthians. And as I said in the first sermon, every month we say the Nicene Creed. We say we believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We confess that we're an apostolic church. That means that we believe the teaching and ethics of the apostles of the Lord Jesus. And that is very important. We neglect this at our peril. How do we test whether a Christian ministry or minister is faithful? What will it look like in the life of a church? Can you recognize a true, authentic gospel ministry? Do you trust what I say and do because of this? This is my license and authority to preach here at Trinity. I'm just going to read the first few lines. Jonathan, by divine permission, Bishop of Derby, to our beloved in Christ, Robert Marsden, Clerk, Master of Arts, greeting. We do by these presents give and grant unto you, in whose fidelity, morals, learning, and sound doctrine and diligence, we fully confide license and authority to perform the office of Minister of Trinity Chapel, Buxton. That was signed by Jonathan Bailey, Bishop of Derby, in 1999. Long time ago. Is this still an authentic gospel ministry, a true and authentic gospel ministry? What does that look like? How do you test whether a Christian ministry is faithful? This matters, doesn't it? Because there are so many churches and ministries on offer. Would it not be more attractive if I promised that trusting and following Jesus would bring you health and prosperity and success and popularity? This second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians is vital in church life in every age, not just in the challenges and opportunities of living in 21st century Britain. These Corinthian Christians wanted to distance themselves from the teaching and lifestyle and ministry convictions of the Apostle Paul. And he wants to draw them back, not because he's proud and full of himself, but because to come back to his teaching and ethics is to be reconciled back to God, the God and Father of Jesus, in whose name he ministers. It is that vital. So what is true, authentic gospel ministry? Well, firstly, and I put it this way just to get us to think, Anna's already superbly just raised this up in terms of illustration. True, authentic gospel ministry is being the bad smell of death and the good smell of life. The Apostle Paul uses two pictures to convey what apostolic ministry is like. Look at verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Now keep in mind the us there is first and foremost the apostle and his co-workers. And Paul begins with thanks, because the Apostle Paul is a captive in a triumphal procession. So this picture is one taken from ancient times, the triumphal procession. A conquering army would return home after winning a great battle. And in the procession at the front would be the conquering king or general. And at the back would be the prisoners of war, humiliated and weak and suffering. Now, there's great encouragement here for the Apostle Paul, because this is Christ's triumphal procession. God's mighty king has won a great victory over sin and death and evil. His is the victory, his is the power, his is the glory. Now, just remember, of course, that triumph only comes through his own suffering and rejection and death for your sins and my sins. But the Apostle Paul, I think, quite clearly here, likens himself to one of the prisoners of war. In his ministry as an apostle, he is humiliated and weak and suffering. But look what he's doing. Through us, spreading everywhere the fragrance of him, that is, a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So this first picture is not a picture of strength and success in ministry, far from it, but a picture of weakness and humiliation and suffering. And did you notice, just look at this, the always and everywhere of verse 14. The true, authentic gospel ministry, modeled on the teaching, an example of the Apostle Paul, will always and everywhere, yes, be spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ as Savior and Lord, but in humiliation and weakness and suffering and rejection and hardship. And the second picture confirms that. This is my heading, that true authentic gospel ministry means being a bad smell and a good smell. This is very striking stuff. Now, I want to be a nice smell all of the time, and this is what I put on my body first thing in the morning in the shower. And I just thought I'd read you this, because this is Radox Feel Free. And it says this: you are about to feel liberated. And then the next line, Julia said I couldn't say in a sermon. So if you want to know what it says, come up to me later. Because the uplifting blend of matcha green tea and coconut water scent sets your senses free. That's what I put on my body to make myself smell nice during the day. We want to smell nice, don't we? But look what the Apostle Paul says, what these smells are like. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. Now to God always, as the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed and his word is taught, this is pleasing to him. But he speaks here about what the messengers will be like, the smell that they will be like. So, you know, you may think of a barbecue, a big steak that is cooking. One side is the group of vegetarians, on the other side is the group of meat eaters. And the reaction to the smell that rises from the barbecue is completely different. It's a divided reaction, isn't it? And the point here is that the true, authentic gospel worker, as modeled first and foremost by the Apostle Paul, is a good smell or a bad smell, according to how people are responding to the gospel. To those who are perishing, to those not responding with repentance and faith, the gospel message, the gospel messenger is a bad smell. That messenger brings death. I've actually, you know, pretty much experienced this in the 21 years here in Buxton. Julia and I have turned up to parties that people are doing, and it's as if you visibly can see when we arrive that people know that we might speak the gospel, and it's as if we are a bad smell. To those who are being saved, in other words, those in whom God is at work, the gospel worker will be the fragrance of life. So you, Corinthians and Trinity Church, don't think your church life and ministry can in some way avoid this if you're going to be faithful. So I just want to ask, have we the right expectations of true, authentic gospel ministry? If you remain faithful to apostolic teaching and ethics, as you proclaim Christ, as you say this is what involved in living for Christ, expect a negative reaction from those who are lost and perishing. You will be a bad smell, like a bad smell. It's what it's like in our families, in our jobs, in our schools, in our sports clubs, living and speaking for Christ. amongst those who are perishing, you will be a bad smell. Don't be surprised by that. Don't misinterpret that. Now, of course, we must not be tactless or unloving or insensitive. But even assuming that we speak and live for Christ as faithfully and as lovingly as we can, that will always and everywhere be the reaction. Starting first and foremost with the apostle, then apply it into the lives of the Corinthians and then to us. But what a delight to be the fragrance of life. You share the gospel, somebody wants to hear that and think it through. You bump into another Christian, you know, maybe from another country, and you talk about Jesus, their eyes light up. It's wonderful. You had that experience, the fragrance of life. It's wonderful. Now, no wonder the Apostle Paul asked that question at the end of verse 16. And who is equal to such a task? Who's sufficient for this task? This fantastic message about eternity and eternal life, and it produces these reactions, different reactions. Now, Paul will answer his question in chapter 3, the next chapter, verses 4 and 5, I think. But remember, the Apostle Paul's primary purpose is to draw the Corinthians back to God through his apostolic gospel, because they're drifting, they're being tempted by false teachers and false ministries. Verse 17, look at this. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. So the Corinthians are being tempted by false teachers in and around the church. It is no different today. These false teachers, super apostles as they're called, they're in ministry for personal gain. They peddle the word of God for profit. They're insincere. Now, Paul writes, on the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Notice that he and his co-workers are sent from God. If you distance yourself, as the Corinthians were doing, were being tempted to do, from the teaching and ethics of the apostle, then you distance yourself from God. But the Apostle Paul is sent from God, by God. And you see, he wants to reconcile them back to God. We're going to come to that a little bit later in chapter 5. Be reconciled to God. That's what he's going to say to the Corinthians, because they're distancing themselves from apostolic teaching and ethics. So we too must not depart from the apostolic gospel, and we must have the right expectations of what that ministry will look like. Then secondly, true authentic gospel ministry is recognized by the Spirit changing lives for Christ. There are false teachers and false apostles around, and the issue for the Apostle Paul is, how is the true minister commended or authenticated to his hearers? Look at verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Now, it seems as if the false teachers produced letters of commendation, letters that commended them in some way, who they were and why they should be listened to and what they could offer and so on and so forth. A bit like a reference being asked for. You see, and you see, I could say, this is my letter of commendation. Here, look, Clark, Master of Arts, so on and so forth. But just because I have the license, does that make my ministry true, authentic, and faithful? Now, look how Paul responds to the Corinthians. Remember, this is first and foremost about his apostleship. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. So the Apostle Paul says, if you want me to commend myself, look at my heart, because my heart is full of you, you Corinthians. He loves them. They're on his heart. And if you want further commendation, you Corinthians, look at the church. They are a letter from Christ, the result of his ministry. Look at verse 3. You Corinthian Christians show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. See, a true, authentic gospel ministry is where the Holy Spirit changes lives for Christ. I'm going to keep saying, not just any Christ, the apostolic Christ. And here the Apostle Paul alludes to Ezekiel 36, which we had read. Back then in the Old Testament, God's Old Testament peoples, their hearts were hard. They were hard as the tablets of stone on which the Old Testament law was written. But the promise of the Old Testament was a new covenant. A new covenant. And look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant. You see, the Holy Spirit transforms hearts of stone, to hearts that respond to God rightly. In other words, they hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they trust him and are able to change. That's what's happened in the Corinthians. So I want to ask the question, how do you evaluate gospel ministers and gospel ministry in the life of a church? So we don't look at someone's theological degrees. It's not about licenses. There is a place for them, let me say, a place for them. But I have to say that largely the licensing system in the Church of England has collapsed in what it was really designed to do. This is now really about safeguarding, actually, or permission to officiate. But you see, do they preach this apostolic gospel? And is the Holy Spirit being changed? Is the Holy Spirit changing lives through the study and proclamation of God's word? And then thirdly, true, authentic gospel ministry relies on the Spirit working through the apostolic word. Now, in verse 16, Paul asks that question, and who is equal to such a task? Who's sufficient for this? He answers that question, it seems to me, in verse 4. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers, look, of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So Paul's confidence and competence in this apostolic ministry is because of the Holy Spirit. Comes from God giving the Spirit. And you see, the Apostle Paul again talks about the new covenant. I don't want this to be too, you spend lots of time talking about the new covenant. The new covenant, of course, is all about Jesus Christ as Lord, the Lord who saves sinners like you and me, and the gift of his Spirit. So look at verse 6 again. He's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, what does it mean, that phrase, that the letter kills? See, the Old Testament law pronounces a curse on all who fail to obey the law. The letter kills, because the law shows up sinful disobedience. So just listen to the apostle's teaching in Galatians 3, verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. See, the letter kills. You and I are cursed under judgment, according to the Old Testament law, because we've broken the law. That's the same for the people in the Old Testament. But listen to the apostles' teaching in Galatians 3, verse 13, as he goes on. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus is redeemed. They're freed from the judgment of the law. See, the law's curse, the law's judgment is only removed by Christ's death. And the Holy Spirit is given into hearts to make the person and work of Jesus, I always like to say, real to people. He really did die for me. He died to take that curse, that judgment for my sin. And we have a righteousness that is a gift that comes from God. Wow. Because of Christ, I am righteous. And we're freed and justified and reconciled and forgiven. The Holy Spirit gives us new hearts and we begin to want to try to please Jesus and live for him, and we're changed. Isn't that a great smell this morning to proclaim that? A great thing to be able to say. I mean, God is pleased as this is proclaimed. It's a sweet smell to him. But it will be costly. It will be costly. Now, let me just say, what is the instrument the Holy Spirit uses to make the Lord Jesus known to us? It's the Word of God. It's the covenant word, the new covenant word. Where do we find the new covenant? Here. Here. Here's the new covenant word, written by the apostles and those close to them. The new covenant is the teaching of the apostles about Jesus Lord. And the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives makes Jesus and all he's done for us and is doing real to us. The Word and Spirit together, you see. So please don't make the mistake that some make when they look at these words. And I've heard people say this to me. See, the letter kills, they say. We need less Bible, more Spirit. True, authentic ministry relies on the Spirit working through the apostolic word. We need more of God's word, more of this apostolic teaching. Of course, we need more of the Spirit. But I tell you, you get more of the Spirit, if I can put it as bluntly as this, when we take the apostolic word seriously and we come to know and love Jesus more and more and all the blessings and riches that we have in him. So let me say, we must evaluate church life and ministry the right way. In the Church of England, indeed all the denominations, we face a basic fundamental problem. Because what's happening is that so many wrongly think that if we just change this or that, you know, everything will be all right. You know, think of a building that's falling down, collapsing. Shore up this wall and put something here or put something there. The problem is the foundations. And any true and faithful church is built on the teaching of the apostles of the Lord Jesus. Depart from that teaching and the building will eventually collapse. You see, the church won't believe the right things about Jesus as Lord. We won't know him properly. All kinds of false teaching will creep in. We won't know how to live for him properly. I mean, think of the confusion in all the old denominations about sexual ethics. Let me say, it's not just the old denominations, it's the new house churches as well. And the teaching of the apostles is crystal clear. You see, the further we drift from that, the more unfaithful we become. And it is spelling disaster. But of course, the Lord will save his people. So we need to also evaluate gospel ministers the right way. Let me say, it's not just that people once believed these things. This license was given in 1999. Am I faithful today? Do I believe these things I should do today? And being faithful is not just believing them, but proclaiming them faithfully in the face of false teaching. Important to remember that. It's not having a letter of commendation from years back. And two, we must trust God-given methods and have the right expectations. You know, we do live in an age where people aren't interested in the Lord Jesus. And the temptation is to want to find the right techniques that work or to water things down to make it easier. Rather, we trust the Spirit who loves to bring people to know Christ as we proclaim the Word of God. And here's my last application. Be confident that God equips all for gospel ministry. This is primarily about the Apostle Paul, but in a secondary sense, God equips all Christians for gospel work because we all have the Holy Spirit. Yes, there are some with particular gifts and abilities and more opportunities to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, the great blessing of the new covenant is that we all know Jesus Christ as Lord. And we all have his Spirit, and we all have a voice. And all of us can say something about Jesus, relying on the Holy Spirit. And we rely on the Holy Spirit too, to do his work. He will bring life to the people who he will save. We can be confident of that. Let's pray. Father, please write this word on our hearts, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, that we may indeed be faithful as ministers of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us to reflect further on this. Please help us to respond rightly. Please help us to exercise true, authentic gospel ministries, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer, and Arabella's going to come and lead us in those prayers.